I always say we told what we really like to do more, more to leave, or more to do whatever it is, we have our obligations, our families, that's what we like to do, the workforce, the Amal, that we have a location. It's a tremendous good success that people come and want to learn. Tremendous good success. I asked Rabbi Levin, who I share actually a cousin. I know him for a number of years now, and I'm always very impressed when I speak with him. And the mere fact of assistant Rav, and I must say, he really does assistant Rav now. Rabbi Weinberg is at his Kodesh. In Eretz Yisrael for 2 months on a mini sabbatical after 25 years. He's confessed to this a couple of months. He's in Eretz Yisrael for a couple of months, and he entrusted his tefillah with the great Rabbi Yoni Levin as his assistant, who I have to tell you, I heard from so many people what he did over in his shul beyond, in so many ways. And now he's actually at the helm, the captain of the ship, dealing with all the difficulties and all the challenges what a Rav has going on. I met a fellow, his name is Pini Gunner. Pini Gunner is a famous man of the Gunners of England. Bonnie Gunner, his uncle, his major was Rav Abba Gunner, what kind of custom he is. So Pini got married, in Antwerp. So he comes to Antwerp for his costume. And his grandfather, Rav Abba, came with him. And it was time for Isaac to come in front of the Rav Benefit. He was a giant, but he did it. Anyway, so Rav Isaac told Pini, I think it's only right that your David, Rav Abba Gunner, should be inside the position. Hush, he did. He's your grandfather. Let him officiate. So he went over to his grandfather. Rav Abba Gunner said, absolutely not. So you're sure. The minute is that the Rav, the Shtat, is inside the not the Rav Shi. Rav Gunner is inside the position. He said, I'm not going to decide to use the place of Rabbi Kreisler. He grew up. So then he went back to Rabbi Kreisler. My grandfather says, he doesn't want him because you're the Rabbi. He says, tell your grandfather that I'm the Rabbi. I'm asking that he must be Masad Kedusha. He goes back to his grandfather and tells him, Masad. He says, Father Rabbi, I can't admit it. No, the word permitted is Gan. You unscramble it. I'm not starting off with a minute. So Kreisler comes to Rabbi Kreisler and says, the rug, there's no idea. I'm giving you my revision. I'm taking off the abundance of my shoulders and I'm placing it on your shoulder. So now you're the rug and you're going to be beside the solution. So Rabbi Gunner said, so how do you know I'm going to give it back to you? So Rabbi Gunner said, trust me, you don't want it. Trust me, you don't want it. So give it back. So Bart Stammer very lucky to recite that Rabbi Gunner who has the oil of abundance. The entire Kihila. Not only is Shiurim, not only the different dining rooms, which is magnificent, now we have the real oil on him. So it's a true providence. It appears to be one of the top of the pastor, the public defense. I always put on the bottom, and I hope people want to do it. From the love is here to meditate on the state of the man. I'm the Papa, I'm the Lily, I'm the Lily.
Thank you, Rabbi Foyer. It's a great honor and privilege to be here this morning. I share the same feelings of inspiration that people are willing to spend their vacation mornings learning. It's not an easy thing. It's very enticing to stay home and sleep late and play football and watch a pregame and everything along with that. So to me, it's very inspiring how people like you are really taking advantage of this time. And I would share the same feelings with Rabbi Foyer as sharing the same cousin. I feel the same way to be connected to Rabbi Foyer, whose reputation goes well beyond the base medrash here, the shul here. Speaking at the Aguda convention tonight, and then tomorrow he's running to speak later on this morning. I mean, he's sought out, and it's a great honor to be here and speaking in his kehila. So Yaakov Avinu is perhaps the first one person in the world that ever saw an angel as an angel. We know Avram saw angels, but they appeared as people, not as angels. They were looking like anashim. Lot saw people, malachim, but they looked like people. Yaakov Avinu in his dream was perhaps the first person to actually see malachim, to see angels, how they appear. How the Pesukim in Yeshayahu describe an angel as having six wings. So what's the significance of the six wings of a malach? So I'll share with you first as an aside, something to chew on. The Tosos in Sanhedrin writes, quotes from the Tshuvas HaGaonim, that there was a minog in the period of the Gaonim that they would only say Kedusha on Shabbos. Why wouldn't they say Kedusha during the rest of the week like we say? So the Gaonim explained that there are six wings of a malach. And each day of the week, another wing would sing a shira. So Sunday would be one wing, Monday would be wing two, and so on. And by the time they get to Erev Shabbos, all 6 days, so they've now used all six of their wings. And the Medrash says, that the Gaonim say that the Malachim are apologizing to Ribbono Sholom, we have nothing left to sing anymore. We've lost our wings. There's nothing for us to say. So says the Kadosh Baruch Hu back to the Malachim, not to worry. He says, based on the passing Shayahu, Miknaf Ha'aretz Zmiros Shemanu, from the knaf, from the corner, or the wing of the world, I hear singing. Says the Kadosh Baruch Hu to Malachim, Yesh li od kanaf echad, I've got one last wing left, and they're going to say in front of me a shira. That's a reference to Klal Yisrael, that Klal Yisrael sings Zmir Shabbos. So this is a source for, there's a big inyan of singing songs on Shabbos. That's the six wings of the Malachim. But the Gra says that the six wings that Yaakov Avinu saw represent something different. And they're actually connected, but I'm not going to connect them. The Gemara in Chagiga has a steer in Pesukim. One Pasuk says that a Malach has six wings, and the other Pasuk says a Malach has four wings. How do you reconcile this contradiction, says the Gemara? During this time of the Beis HaMikdash, there are six wings. And during Churban Beis HaMikdash, nowadays, that there is no longer Beis HaMikdash, there are only four wings. Makes sense. With the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, the Malach lost two of its wings. That's what the Gemara says. Says the Gra, you know what this refers to, the six wings and the four wings? The Shisha Sidre Mishnah. The six Sidre Mishnah. There's six Siddharm, we know. Zman Nakat, Zman Moed, Nezik and Nashin, Kadshim, Taros. There's six different Siddharm connected to the six wings of the Malachim. That's Bezman HaMikdash. When the Beis HaMikdash is no longer, so then there are only four Siddharm, only four wings of the Malach. So what are these four Siddharm? Which four wings do we have? So there's a Gemara in Bamitzia, it's a fascinating Gemara. Gemara tells us that Rabba Bar Avua one time saw Eliyahu Navi in a Beis Kvaros of a Nachri, a non-Jewish cemetery. Strange place to be, but he was there for whatever reason. So he's hanging out there in this non-Jewish cemetery, and he has Gilui Eliyahu Navi. The Gemara says this. Gemara Bamitzia Daf Kuf Yudalad. So he had this question that had been bothering Rabba Bar Avua his entire life, and now he had this Gilui Eliyahu Navi. So he asked him the question, something to do with halachas of a mashkon, not for now. So Eliyahu answers the question. So then he asks Eliyahu Navi, we know Eliyahu is a Kohen, right? He comes from Pinchas, he's the Gilgal and Neshama Pinchas. So he asks a very basic question. Pardon me, Eliyahu Navi, HaKohen, but you're in a base of Kvaros here. This is a cemetery. And last I checked, a Kohen's not allowed to be in a cemetery. So what are you doing in the cemetery here? So Eliyahu says to him, you know, certainly you haven't gone through all of Shas yet. You haven't finished all of Bavli. You haven't learned all six Sidrei Mishnah. Because the halacha is, we paskin, that a non-Jewish cemetery, a mace of a Nachri, is metame b'magi. If you touch a mace of a non-Jew, it's metame a person. But a Nachri mace is not metame b'ohel. So a Kohen is actually allowed to walk in a non-Jewish cemetery. So clearly, Eliyahu says you haven't learned through all six Sidrei Mishnah. So what's his response back? He says, what do you want from me? I can't even make it through Arba. I can't even make it through four Sidrei Mishnah. You expect me to go through all six of them? So Eliyahu asks, why not? What's your excuse? What are you doing on Thanksgiving morning? Aren't you busy learning? How are you not able to finish six, let alone four? So I need to make a parnasa, don't I? How do you expect me to support my family? I need to work. I don't have time to learn four Siddur Mishnah, let alone six Siddur Mishnah. So then Eliyahu says some magical word, takes Rabbah bar Avuha. By the way, I'm just reminding you, this is a Gemara in Bamatzia. This is not an esoteric source. So he says something, he brings Rabbah bar Avuha to Gan Eden. So he quickly sees all these wonderful things, and he senses beautiful flowers and fruit. So he takes off his shirt, Rabbah bar Avuha, and he starts to gather in all these fruit to take home, and they're very valuable. If you could sell fruit from Gan Eden, could you imagine the value of that? So now he'll sell all this produce, make a lot of money, and he'll be able to finish all six Siddur Mishnah. So now as he's busy gathering the fruit of Gan Eden, he hears this voice come out and says, who's taking the chelak of Olam Haba, the chelak of Gan Eden of Rabbah bar Avuha? So he gets scared, he gets startled, he drops his shirt of fruit, and he runs out. He leaves Gan Eden. But his shirt still had that beautiful scent of Gan Eden. You can imagine what that smells like. So this has got to be valuable. Embedded in the shirt itself has the smell of Gan Eden. So he goes off and he sells it. Interesting point about in-laws, he didn't want to take any hana on his own. He didn't want to give his children either any hana, so he gave it to his sons-in-laws. He was scared to get hana from his Gan Eden, so he gave it to his sons-in-law to enjoy the hana from the money he made off of selling this shirt. So that's the Gemara. So which four Siddur Mishnah was Rabbah bar Avuha saying he didn't know? He was trying to get through four, let alone six. So Rashi says, you know which four? The four that are relevant. The four Siddur Mishnah that Bavli has Gemara on. What do we have Gemaras on? Zram doesn't count. Brachos is one. That doesn't really count. We have Moed. We have Nashim. We have Nezikim. And we have Kadshim. Those are the four Siddur Mishnah that he was referring to. Why those four? Because those are four that are relevant. Moed talks about Shabbos, Erevin, Psachim, and so on. Everything that's relevant to us. Nashim talks about Kedushin and Ksuba and Yuvam, all things that are relevant. Nezikin talks about Bava Metzia, Bava Kama, things that are relevant. What about Kudshim? Well, Kudshim isn't relevant, so why is there Kudshim? Why is there Kudshim in the Bavli? So what does Rashi say based on the Gemara Menachos? Kol ha'omer chatas, kilu hikriv chatas. If you say the psukim of Karbanos in the morning, the Gemara in Menachos says, it's as if you're being makriv that karban. If you say the carbon ola, you just say those words. It's as if you're being makriv an ola. So yes, learning kudshim is still relevant bisman hazeh, because it's as if you're being makriv those karbanos. So what about the Yushalmi? The Yushalmi also has Gemara on four different siddarim. They have moed, they have nashim, they have nezikin. Anyone know the fourth that we have a Yushalmi on? Zroim. Because Ram is relevant in Eretz Yisrael. Chumas, Maisus, and everything, Arla, that's all relevant. So those are the four Siddarim that are relevant in Eretz Yisrael. So that's why we have four Gemaras of the Yushalmi, four sections of the Yushalmi. So what about Kudshim? Why is there no Kudshim? There happened to be one person tried once forging a Kudshim Yushalmi, it wasn't true. But why is there no Kudshim in the Yushalmi? Isn't that also relevant like the Bavli? So listen to this point. If you learn throughout the Yushalmi, you're not going to find any Gemara in the Yushalmi that says, Kol ha'omer ola, ki'ilu hikriv ola. Kol ha'omer chatas, ki'ilu hikriv chatas. It does not exist in the Yushalmi. So how come the Bavli has such an idea and the Yushalmi does not? So what's a Mishnah called in Yushalmi? If you look in a Bavli, a Mishnah is called Masnisin. It's a Mishnah. If you look in a Yushalmi, what's it called in Yushalmi? A halacha. It's called a halacha. The Yushalmi was very much focused on halacha l'maisa. What was the maskana? The Yushalmi was not so interested in the back and forths. Sometimes the Yushalmi is going to have a question and just ignore it because it wasn't halacha l'maisa. And just leave off in the middle of the conversation. The Yushalmi is not so interested in the backs and forth. The havaminas, the questions and answers and the rayas. Bottom line, what is the halacha? That's the Yushalmi. The Bavli, on the other hand, it's called a Mishnah, Lashon Vishinantam, to be sharp. The Bavli has an idea of Asik Batorah, a Melis Batorah, learning and plugging through and figuring out and even understanding Havaminas, even though it's not Halacha L'maisa. So Yushalmi is about Halacha L'maisa and Bavli is about Vishinantam, sharpness, a Melis. So now we can understand. Because Yerushalmi cares about halacha l'maisa. We bring a carbon or we not bring a carbon. There is no carbon to be brought. So there's no kadshim on Yerushalmi. It's not halacha l'maisa. The Yerushalmi, no, don't take this the wrong way. Yerushalmi, of course, it recognizes a melas b'torah. But that wasn't the focus. I'll bring some more proofs for this. The focus was, what's the bottom line? What's the halacha? If there are no karbonos business manazeh, so the Yerushalmi didn't waste the time of writing about kadshim. The Bavli, which acknowledges a melas b'torah, the v'shinantam. So the Bavli could understand kala omer chatas, it's as if you bring a chatas. Kala omer ola, it's as if you bring an ola. So Yerushalmi is halacha l'maisa, and Bavli is v'shinantam, to be sharp, lashon of a Mishnah. The Gemara in Shabbos Daf Lama tells us about the day that David HaMelech died. Could you imagine having a conversation with the Kaddish Baruch Hu about negotiating which day you're going to die, when your yahrzeit's going to be? David had that leisure of having such a conversation. So he wanted to know, he asked Hashem, when am I going to die? Hashem says, I made a gzeira. I can never tell someone when he's going to die. I'm not allowed to say. He already made a gzeira. So then David says, maybe I can negotiate which day of the week am I going to die? So Hashem says, I'm allowed to tell you which day of the week. You're going to die on a Shabbos. Now, David HaMelech was devastated. Dying on a Shabbos, that means the burial will be delayed. There's not going to be proper kavod hames. There's not going to be a levaya. He says, do you mind if I get an extra day and may live till Sunday to have the proper kavod? He says, you know, I'm sorry, the Gemara says, but it's time for Shlomo HaMelech to be king. And once it's time for the next king, there's no delaying it anymore. I can't wait any longer. You can't wait an extra day. So then David says, how would I give up a day of my life? Let me die Erev Shabbos. And this way I'll have a proper kavod hames, a proper levaya, a proper hesped. Hashem says to him, it's very nice and gracious of you, but I can't. So listen to this line. Says the Gemara in Shabbos, this is the Bavli, Tov li yom echad she'ata yoshev osik b'torah. Greater to me, says Hashem to David, your one day learning is greater to me. May elef olos she'osid Shlomo bincha lahakriv lefanai agab mizbech. One day of your learning is greater than all the karbanos that Shlomo HaMelech is going to be responsible for. One day learning greater than all the karbanos. Now listen to this. The Rebbe Kiva Eger writes in the Gilyon HaShas, the Yerushalmi has almost the identical conversation with David and Hashem when he's going to die. And there's a slightly different response, Hashem says. And pay attention to this. It's going to be l'shitasa. The Yerushalmi says, Tov li yom echad av mishpat v'tzdaka sha'ata oseh. One day of your judgment, of your ma'asim tovim, of your tzedakah that you're going to do, is greater than all the karbanos of Shlomo HaMelech. What's the emphasis, according to the Yerushalmi? Ma'asim tovim, halacha l'maisa. According to the Bavli, it was the Esek b'Torah, the Amelis b'Torah. So we see there are many other examples how the Yerushalmi was about halacha l'maisa, the maskana, and the Bavli is about the shinantam, the Esek b'Torah, the Amelis b'Torah. So now, having that in mind, the difference between the Yerushalmi and the Bavli. So for what reason are we learning the Bavli over the Yerushalmi? You would imagine we're supposed to learn Alibud Hilchasa. Gemara tells us in many places we have to learn Alibud Hilchasa. So wouldn't you imagine then the Yerushalmi should be the one we should paskin like, since their emphasis was on halacha l'maisa? So I'm going to share with you a number of statements, pretty much all from the Gemaras throughout the Bavli. How the Bavli, the Torah that emanated from the Bavli, from the Bavel area, was inferior to the Torah of Eretz Yisrael. So as we go through, we have to ask the question, if the Torah of Bavel is inferior to that of Eretz Yisrael, so why do we learn and paskin like the Bavli over the Yerushalmi? So the first Gemara is a fascinating one in the end of Avrei Pesachim. The Gemara tells us in Kuf Yud Gimel Amud Beis in Pesachim, Shlosha Sonim Zetzet. There are three groups of people who hate each other. One is Klavim, dogs don't like each other. One is Tarnagolim, chickens don't get along with each other. And one is Chavarim, it's a certain nation, they don't get along with each other. The Gemara says there's a Yesh Omrim, Zonos don't get along with each other. And then there's a Yesh Omrim, Af Tamidei Chachamim Shebebavel. The Tamidei Chachamim and Bavel don't get along with each other. They hate each other. They always fight. And we find this in many Gemaras, that they don't get along with each other. And the Gemara tells us if you want to be successful in your learning, you have to learn with tremendous ahava for each other and respect each other and kavod for each other. So that's number one. The Gemara Babli says that they hate each other in Bavel. The Talmid Chacham hate each other. Number two, Rebbe Zeira. You're going to see Rebbe Zeira many times throughout Shas. And he grew up in Bavel, and he ran away to live in Eretz Yisrael. Now listen to what he did before he went to Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara tells us in Bava Metzia Pehe Amud Aleph that Rebbe Zeira, Kisalik La'ara di Yisrael, before he left to Eretz Yisrael, Yosef Meya Tanisa, he fasted 100 fast days. Why? In order to Lishtakach Gemara Bavla Mine, in order for him to forget all the learning he had learned in Bavel. He wanted to press reset. Rebbe Zeira was a Rebbe at the time. He spent a lot of time learning in Bavel, and he was willing to press reset. Now, I don't know if it worked or not, but he attempted fasting 100 fasts to press the reset button, forget everything he learned in Bavel, which tells you that Talmud Bavli is quite inferior than that of the Talmud Yerushalmi. There's another, the Mishnah Menachos, that tells us that in Yom HaKippurim, there are a total of three se'irim, three goats that are brought. They're the Shnei se'irim that we know, you do the goral, you switch around the lots. There's another goat that is brought as part of the Karban Musaf. Fine. That Karban Musaf goat, that se'ir, gets eaten. So the Mishnah says that the Bavloim, the Babylonians, would eat that se'ir raw. They would eat that goat raw, without cooking it. They would eat it raw, a piece of meat. Because Daitan Yafa, because they loved eating so much, they were willing to eat it even when it was raw. So the Gemara comes along, notably Rabbi Yochanan comes along and clarifies, Lo Bavloim Hayu, these weren't actually Babylonians, actually. They were Alexandrian, they were from Alexandria, from Egypt. So why does the Mishnah call them Babylonians if in fact they're Egyptians? So says Rabbi Yochanan, because they hated the Babylonians, this was like an insult. To call someone a Babylonian, to call him a person from, call someone a New Yorker, it's like an insult. A Babylonian? So they called them Babylonians because they hated people from Bavel. So the Talmid Chacham didn't like each other. No one else liked them either. So there's a tremendous amount of sinah going on in Bavel, which of course is going to be putting a tremendous limit on their hatzlach in learning. There are a few stories where the Gemara tells us that Reish Lakish was a swimmer. He swam. That's how he met Rabbi Yochanan originally. Rabbi Yochanan saw Reish Lakish swimming. He saw he was so strong. There's another Gemara, not as well known, in Yuma, where Reish Lakish was swimming. And this time, Rabba Bar Chana wanted to give him a helping hand to get out of the Yarden. He was swimming in the Yarden in Eretz Yisrael. So he gave him a hand to pull him out of the Yarden. Reish Lakish refused to accept his hand, because Rabba Bar Chana came from Bavel. So Reish Lakish says to him, Hashem hates you. You know that, right? He says, Hashem hates you. I don't want to touch you. Hashem hates you so much. So this for a different reason, Rashi explains, because they didn't return from Bavel the times of Ezra. But there's this tremendous amount of sinah within Bavel, amongst the Talmidei Chachamim, and those who are living in Eretz Yisrael, the perspective of those living in Bavel. Gemara says, the Pasuk in Eicha, B'machashakim hoshivanu kimesei olam. I placed people in the situation of darkness, like mesei olam, like people who are dead. Who is placed in a makom of choshech, says the Gemara? It's referring to Talmuda shel Bavel. Bavel was in a place that was dark. Bavel was a place that was low, that was dark. It was choshech. And that's what the pasuk means in Eicha, referring to that Talmud Bavli emanated from this place of darkness, this place that was choshech, a dark place. Why was it so dark? So Rabbeinu Chananel says because no one understood what was going on in Bavel. Talmud Bavli is so confusing. We all have experienced such confusion in the Bavli. And Rashi says because no one got along with each other in Bavel. So the learning was so confusing. They were speaking against each other. They weren't getting along. So this is yet another Gemara that tells us how inferior the Talmud Bavli in fact is. The Gemara in Chagiga tells us Liyotze ulavo ein shalom. Pasuk in Zechariah. Person who comes and goes doesn't have peace. He's going back and forth, back and forth. There's no peace if you're roaming the world, if you're a wanderer. You're not going to have any shalom. You're not going to be settled. So what does that pasuk mean? So Rav says it refers to a person who learns halacha, and then he backtracks and goes to learning psukim. Right, there's a whole mahalcha how to learn. You start with psukim, in Mishnah, Gemara, halacha. So a guy who, if you will, he graduates from learning chumash, he starts learning halacha, Shulchan Aruch, Mishnah Berurah. Then he ends up getting lazy, going back to psukim. He's not going to find any satisfaction in learning psukim anymore. He doesn't have that depth. Then the Gemara says, it means a person, Shmuel holds, a person who goes from Gemara back to Mishnah. So a guy spending years in yeshiva learning be'ian, and then he gets lazy, starts learning Mishnayos, just very superficially. He's not going to be satisfied with his learning. Then comes along one more opinion in the Gemara. Rabbi Yochanan again. Rabbi Yochanan kept on saying these negative things about the Bavli. A person who goes from Talmud to Talmud. Which Talmud are we referring to, says Rashi? A person who goes from Yushalmi and then takes a few steps back to learn the Bavli. Ein lo shalom. That person has no satisfaction, no peace. So we see from all these Gemaras that the Torah that emanated from Eretz Yisrael, the Yushalmi, is superior than that of the Bavli. The most famous Gemara perhaps about how superior the Torah of Eretz Yisrael is a statement said by Rabbi Zeira himself. What did Rabbi Zeira say? Gemara Babasa tells us, remember Rabbi Zeira is the one who fled from Babel to go to Eretz Yisrael. And in doing so, he fasted 100 fasts to forget everything he learned in the Bavli. So what does the Gemara say? Omer Rabbi Zeira, Shma Mina, Avira de Eretz Yisrael Machkim. The Avira, the airspace, the atmosphere, the land itself, makes a person smarter. When you're in Eretz Yisrael, you're much smarter. It helps you learn, helps you paskin shilas. So we've seen from many places, and there are a number of other places, where the Gemara calls people from Babel tipshim, fools. It calls it a place that's chashucha, that's very, very dark. So why in the world are we learning the Bavli instead of the Yushalmi? Now, of course, people also learn the Yushalmi, but almost no one learned Yushalmi without learning the Bavli first. So why are we learning the Bavli? Why are we paskin like the Bavli over the Yushalmi? Yes, the Rambam in many places will have a halacha that he'll get from the Yushalmi. But for the most part, if there's a contradiction, Tosos writes in many places, we paskin like the Bavli over the Yushalmi. So why? We clearly see that Bavli is so much more inferior than the Yushalmi. So there are a few answers given. First answer is a famous answer of the Rif. The Rif writes is one of the principles of paskining shilas is halacha kibasra. Whoever is a later opinion, Ravina Ravashi came last, and therefore we paskin like what they said, even though the Doros Harishonos are greater. The ones closer to Har Sinai are greater than those who were afterwards. But those who codified the Gemara and saw everything, they had a broad view of all the different opinions, and were able to see how the Minhagim had evolved, so they could say, with this wide perspective, this is how we paskin. Halacha kibasra. So says the Rif, since the Bavli continued to be taught and learned after the Yushalmi, the Bavli was completed sometime in the 6th century. I don't remember when the Yushalmi was, but Bavli was complete after the Yushalmi. Yushalmi stopped at some point. Bavli kept on going and going and going. So since Bavli was Basra, it was the later source. So for that reason, we paskin and learn like the Bavli over the Yushalmi. That's one pshat. The second pshat is found in the Ritva. The Ritva in Yuma quotes the Tshuvas HaRambam. The Tshuvas HaRambam writes that you know why the Bavli was so inferior to that of the Yushalmi? Because during the times of Rabba, Rav Yosef, Abaye, Rava, there were a lot of pogroms. And they were running from place to place. And you can imagine, a person running from place to place without any type of settling feeling, settling das, he's not going to be able to learn well. People running in the Holocaust from place to place for their own lives, they couldn't learn well, let alone not having the right svarim. But even those who knew it Baal Peh, and many did back then, they can't learn well if you're running to save your life. So says the Rambam, during the times of the beginning of the Bavli, that learning, the learning was very weak. It was very inferior because they were busy running from pogrom to pogrom. But at the end, when those pogroms stopped, when Ravina of Ashi came to put together the Bavli and complete it, at that point, they were no longer running around. They had the ability to sit with the time and effort and concentration, and then the Bavli became more superior than that of the Yushami. It was a historical point. Things change historically. That's what the Rambam Shita is. But then there's a final answer, which is the Nitziv. The Nitziv explains in his Chidushim al Torah. He's talking about in Parshas Kisisa the difference between Luchos Rishonos and Luchos Shnios. So if I had to ask you which one was greater, you'd all tell me Luchos Rishonos is greater. Right? That was written by Hashem himself. Hashem handed to Moshe Rabbeinu the Luchos Rishonos that had all the Luchos written on it. Luchos Shnios, Moshe Rabbeinu had to sit there, psalachai, to chisel away at the Luchos Shnios. So which would be greater? That which comes from Maisa Elohim or Maisa Adam? Certainly Maisa Elohim is much greater than Maisa Adam. So the Nitziv quotes in Ibn Ezra, who quotes a Gaon, one of the Gaonim, that said the Luchos Shnios are more mechubad, more honorable than the Luchos Rishonos. And Ibn Ezra doesn't like that. How could that be? How could you say Luchos Shnios are more respected than Luchos Rishonos? One came from Hashem, one came from Moshe Rabbeinu. So the Nitziv explains what's pshat. He says, although Luchos Rishonos were amazing, they came from Ma'aseh Elokim, they lacked a certain element of Koach HaChidush. You didn't have the ability to be Mechadish, your own personal path in Torah. There was no Torah Shebaal Peh at the time. The Gemara Nedarim says, had not been for the Cheta Egel, there would have been five Chamishei Chumshei Torah and Sefer Yeshua and Zehu. That would be it. Nothing else. No more other Svarim Tanakh. No Mishnah Gemara. No Torah Shebaal Peh. It would have all been there, handed on a silver platter. It didn't have the Koach HaChidush. But then, after Cheta Egel, even though it sounds like a bad thing, but the Gemara tells us that when it was broken, Yasher Kochcha, the Gemara says, it was a good thing that it broke. Because now Hashem said, Psalacha, Moshe Rabbeinu, you sit there and you chisel away to put in your Amelis, to put in your Koach HaChidush in the Luchos Shnios. And therefore, it put Luchos Shnios as a greater set of Luchos than the Luchos Rishonos, because it had the element of man. Like everything else in the world, there's always, you know, Gan Eden, and there's a Kodem Achet of Adam, and then afterwards, B'zeh Esapecha. Before, everything was handed to Adam Arishon. After the Chet, B'zeh Esapecha sound like it's a Klala, but the Sfarim write, it's actually not a Klala. It's our ability to put the Amelus in this world, B'zeh Esapecha, to have our own ability to be Mechadish and Amel in this world, in the world of Torah. So says the Nitziv, the same holds true when it comes to the Yushalmi and the Bavli. We just went through maybe 15 sources that the Yushalmi is much greater than the Bavli. Torah that emanates from Eretz Yisrael is greater than the Torah that comes from Bavel. So says the Nitziv, starting off, when the race began, the Yushalmi was so far ahead of the Bavli. The Yushalmi had Avira De'aris El Machkim. Being in Eretz Yisrael itself, that Kedusha makes you smarter. So when the races were off, the Yushalmi had a tremendous head start. And Bavli, people were sitting in Bavel in a place that was low, it was dark, there's no Siyata Dishmaya there, learning and plugging away. And to start off, Yushalmi was much far ahead. But after the years of sitting and learning and the Amelus and Psalacha and chiseling away and B'zeh Esapecha and sweating over the learning, says the Nitziv, just like the Luchos Shnios became more mechubad than the Luchos Rishonos, the Bavli became more mechubad than the Yushalmi, because that element of Amelus, the element, that Koach HaChidush that was infused in the Bavli. And that goes back to explain what we started off with, the difference between the Bavli and the Yushalmi. The Bavli is called a Mishnah. Yushalmi is called a Halacha. Because according to in the Yushalmi, everything came easy. You could sit back, put your feet up, and it just comes. Avir da'ari yisrael machim. It makes you smarter. It just comes smoothly, easily. There's no melis in Eretz Yisrael. So it's all halacha. You don't need all the back and forth. The decisions were clear. In Bavli, in Bavel, things were very, very hard. You needed to have the amelis, the asik batorah, the vishinantam, the lashon of the Mishnah. That's the idea of the Bavli. And for that reason, the Bavli is what we embrace. The Bavli is what we learn instead of the Yushalmi because of the koach achidish. And again, although it started off with the Yushalmi way ahead in the race, with the amelis and koach achidish, the Yushalmi, rather the Bavli, became the superior learning, the superior Talmud. And for that reason, we learn it instead of the Yushalmi, and we paskin like the Bavli instead of the Yushalmi. Now, finish off, right, before he asked me to open up for questions, before doing so, I'm going to give some Divrei Agada. That was already some Divrei Agada, but I'm going to connect a little bit more. This inyan started off with Yaakov Avinu seeing the Malachim going up and down. And we said the Malachim and the wings represented the four-city Mishnah and the six-city Mishnah, six-city Mishnah of times of the Beis HaMikdash, the four wings of the four-city Mishnah of the times of the Churban Beis HaMikdash. So Yaakov Avinu had a dream. He had a dream about Malachim going up and down. And there's a famous medrash that tells Rabbi Kiva was once giving a shir. And during this shir, his students started falling asleep. And he wanted to wake them up. So how do you wake up a student when he falls asleep? So you have to think of something interesting. Nowadays, it would probably be some type of video to show the Talmidim. Back then, they obviously didn't have that. So their way of waking up Talmidim was by an interesting Dvar Torah. So Rabbi Kiva says to his Talmidim, as they're falling asleep, the Lashon is their misnamim, they're dozing off. They're in and out, falling asleep, waking up. He says, you know why Esther Malka was Zocha? To rule over 127 Medinos. So he says, because Sari Menu lived for 127 years. So because she lived 127 years, her great-great-great-granddaughter, Esther Malka was Zocha to 127 Medinas. Very nice, nice gematria, 127. But what's the real connection between Sarah Menu's life and Esther Malka's ruling over 127 Medinas? So the Gemara tells us at the end of Makos that Rabbi Kiva was once walking over the ruins of the Beis HaMikdash. And there was a fox crawling over the ruins. And all the other tzaddikim that were with him were busy crying to see how the Makom HaMikdash was so desecrated with the destruction and foxes crawling all over. And Rabbi Kiva, as we know, started to laugh. So they asked Rabbi Kiva, why are you laughing? And he explained to them, because once this nevuah, once this vision, once this dream of the foxes crawling over was fulfilled, he was ensured that the next nevuah, the next dream, would be fulfilled as well, that the returning of the Beis HaMikdash. And he laughed in excitement. When does a person laugh? You ever find yourself fantasizing about something you want to accomplish, whether it's finishing Shas, whether it's learning, whether it's something in business, and you get all giddy about what you're going to do with all the money you're going to make from winning the lottery, whatever type of fantasy you have. You begin to giggle, you laugh to yourself. So when a person dreams, the person laughs because he gets excited from his dreams. So Rabbi Kiva was thinking of this dream, of this nevuah, and he was laughing because he was getting excited to have this fantasy of his fulfilled. Pasuk says, Shia Malz Meshuvasem, Es Shivas Tzion, the returning, Hainu Kechomim, it's a dream. The returning is a dream like Rabbi Kiva had. Oz Yimalei Tzchok Pinu. And when a person's filled with this excitement, with a dream, certainly returning of the Tzion, Shivas Tzion, certainly that's going to fill a person's mouth with tzchok and tzchok, laughter and happiness. So Rabbi Kiva was thinking of the Shivas Tzion, the returning of the Beis HaMikdash, and he was excited. Azimali tzchok pinu. So Rabbi Kiva was a dreamer. He always thought of what could be accomplished. That's why he laughed. We have other connections of how Rabbi Kiva laughed in different cases. But the Pre-Tzadik writes, that Akiva ben Yosef, Rabbi Kiva's name is Akiva ben Yosef. Why Akiva ben Yosef, says the Pre-Tzadik? Akiva is a derivation of the name Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Akiva are very similar. So he says Akiva comes from Yaakov Avinu. Ben Yosef, he comes from Yosef at Tzadik. Aside from Paro, who are the only individuals who had dreams in all of Torah? Yaakov Avinu, this week's Parsha, Yosef at Tzadik. So Rabbi Akiva, who came from these kochos of Yaakovinu and Yosef HaTzadik had that same koach to dream. He was a dreamer. He had big visions of what can be accomplished. That's who Rabbi Akiva was. There's a fascinating hakdama by the Or HaZeruah. Or HaZeruah is one of the Rishonim. Now, the Or HaZeruah, usually, a sefer is named after the author, the Mechaber. But the Or HaZeruah explains why he did not do that when naming his sefer the Or HaZeruah. He explains in the Hakdama why he chose the Or HaZeruah as the name of the sefer. So there's a big suffix he had, how to spell the name Akiva. Should it be spelled Ayin Kuf Yud Vez Aleph, like in the Bavli? Or should it end with a He, like in the Yushalmi? The Yushalmi spells Akiva with a He at the end. Bavli spells it with an Aleph. So he wasn't sure how to pasuk it. One time he had a dream. He was sleeping, he had the following dream. And in the dream appeared the pasuk, Or HaZeruah LaTzadik Ulishe Lev Simcha. The Sofei Tevos. Now again, this is not a Hasidic Rebbe saying this. This is the Or HaZeruah, one of the Rishonim. Or HaZeruah writes that the pasuk, the Sofei Tevos, in his dream, he saw. Or, he didn't write this, but Or is really Rebbe. Or is really Rebbe Akiva. Or is ends with a Reish. That's Rebbe. Or HaZeruah is an Ayin. Or HaZeruah LaTzadik is a Kuf. Lishrei is a Yud. Lev is a Vez. And Simcha is a He. He paskin based on this pasuk. You should write Akiva's name Ayin Kuf Yud Vez. Hey, based on the dream, and that's why he named his sefer Or HaZeruah, because he was so thankful for having such a dream. Now this is a whole other shaila, whether you could paskin based on dreams, lo b'shemayim, that's another discussion. But isn't it amazing that the remez of Rabbi Akiva in this pasuk came through a dream? Why did it have to come out through a dream? Why couldn't it just come to him while he's learning? Because Rabbi Akiva represents chalomos, he represents dreams. So it had to come through a dream. When do we say Or HaZeruah LaTzadik? Kol Nidre Night, Leil Yom HaKippurim. Or HaZeruah LaTzadik, which happens to be the Yahrzeit of Rabbi Akiva when he was murdered. So Yom Kippur is a time where not only we think of what we've done in the past and ask for Slicha Mechila, but the time, hopefully more importantly, we're looking to the future, what we could accomplish, what types of dreams we have this upcoming year. So we look to Rabbi Akiva and his neshama on his yard site, Or HaZeruah LaTzadik, to tap into those kochos of being a dreamer to accomplish all of that. Because Rabbi Akiva comes from Yaakov Avinu, this week's Parsha, seeing those malachim going up and down in this dream, what Yaakov Avinu is going to accomplish. So I think the idea is what Rabbi Akiva was telling his students was as follows. His students knew that Rabbi Akiva was a big dreamer. Rabbi Akiva had a late start in life. We know that. He had a late start in life. That's when he was Zocha to this Torah, when he's much later, when he's much older. And the only way to accomplish something at his age was if you really have big dreams. You can't accomplish big things unless you have big dreams. So every Talmud, everyone who knew Rabbi Akiva, knew that he was a big dreamer. So they were starting to fantasize what they're going to accomplish as well. What happens oftentimes when a person thinks of his dreams, he plans and he plans and he dreams and he fantasizes, and he gets lost in his dreams. His Talmidim were beginning to doze off because they were stuck in their dreams. A person could dream for years and not accomplish anything at all. Rabbi Akiva says, you have to stop dreaming. You could start with a dream, but you need to wake up and start putting things into action. You need to wake up and start connecting. So his Talmidim were dreaming too much. He says, you know why Esther Malka was Zocha to 127 Medinos? Sfas Emes says that Sari Imenu represents Das, Machshava. She was thinking for 127 years, and Esther Malka put that into play. She decided to take action. So a person just dreams his whole life, he's not going to accomplish. You want to dream to be a great father, a great husband, a Talmud Chacham, a great businessman, whatever your dreams are. If you just dream and dream and dream, nothing's going to get accomplished. Rabbi Akiva was teaching his students that you have to, there's a point in time where you have to put things into action. You have to wake up and start being very proactive. And that's the lesson Rabbi Akiva taught. Now that's a lesson for all of us here. That's what the Bavli teaches us. The Bavli teaches us, we all have big hasagos of accomplishing a lot, learning a lot, but it all requires a melis. It all requires koach, achidish, zeyas apecha. Whether it's in Torah, whether it's in work, whatever it's in, it requires effort. And that's the lesson in why we learn the Bavli, is because that a melis took something that was so inferior and was able to push it over the top, make it the main learning of all ours. Okay, Shkoyach, thank you very much for this opportunity. He asked if anyone has questions, please feel free. And we only have Maseches Brachos on it. We don't have it Bav. Yeah, only Bav. So the Brachos, exactly. Nida also, we have Nida and Taros, but that's all we have. So that's not considered a full Seder of Gemara we have. Yes?
Understanding we learn above. Why do we pass them like the Bav? Why do we pass them like the Yishami? Because it's clearer.
They're the same idea, because once you have the Koach HaChiddush, the Koach HaChiddush gives you the ability not only to be mechadish things, but also to come to a clear psak as well. That was the whole goal. The whole goal of learning is not just to speak theory. Theory and lamdas, all that's fantastic. It's exciting and it means a lot. There's depth to it. But it's also to bring it down to halacha lemais as well. In the end of the day, there's greater clarity. It's a good question, but after all that amelus, the clarity in the end of the day, that's the goal. The Gemara talks about how Yehuda, the Shevet Yehuda, his bones in the Midbar was busy in the Aron, was rattling, and they couldn't get it to stop. And finally Moshe Rabbeinu had a whole conversation, it should stop because he's the one who caused Reuven to be Moda. Reuven admitted his sin because Yehuda admitted to his sin. And then he was Zocha to let it to stop, but then he wasn't allowed in the base Medrash Shalmala. And then he davened further, he was allowed in the base Medrash Shalmala. But then he didn't know what anyone was saying, he couldn't hold cup. And then they daven, they should understand. So then they daven, he was able to understand, but he couldn't learn Alibu to Hilchaza. That's the whole goal, to learn Halacha L'maisa. Finally, Moshe Rabbeinu daven that he's able to have his opinions accepted La Halacha. So yes, it's hard to get to that point. That Bavli had that tremendous challenge of living and being in a place like Bavel. But in the end of the day, with Ravina Ravashi, they came to a final point of passing Shailas L'maskana. Okay, great. Thank you so much. Have a wonderful day.